Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m., we'd love to hear from you because you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, and we want you to be a part of today's broadcast. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, this world that we live in is broken in just about every way imaginable. And if you're trying to find, you know, solid footing to live life, to you know, feel comfortable, confident, you're not going to find it in this world.
No.
If you put your foot down in the political arena, you're going to find it's broken. If you put your foot down in money or whatever the world has to offer, you're not going to find solid footing at all. There's only one place to find solid footing, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is going to be our theme for the month, how to find solid footing in a broken world. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So Paul received this gospel message. So it wasn't something he made up. It wasn't something that he invented from his own imagination. He received the news about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And what he received, he passed on. So he passed on to those that he encountered in every city that he went to. He simply passed on the good news of Jesus Christ. And as he delivered that message, people heard it, they believed it as true, they received it, and then they took their stand on the gospel. And so that's what he's saying to these Corinthians. You heard this message, I've passed it on to you, you received it, and now you've taken your stand on this good news of Jesus Christ. And that's solid footing.
Yes.
That's where the ground underneath you is unshakable, unmovable, regardless of the circumstances of your life. You know, there may be storms going on, but that ground underneath, that foundation of Christ Jesus, that gospel, that good news, is going to keep you standing in the midst of any and every storm. You may be beaten down by this world. You may get all kinds of persecution as far as words that are being said against you, accusations that are being hurled against you. And if you try to fend those off in a worldly manner, you're moving away from solid ground to shaky ground.
Right.
So take your stand on the gospel. Keep your feet right there. And whatever comes your way, you're going to be on solid footing. There's a great passage in Ephesians, and we'll certainly get to this later on in the month, but it has to do with spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And Satan can throw every single dart at you that he has in his arsenal. I mean, he can fire those arrows at you. And when his entire artillery is exhausted, you're going to still be standing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that ground underneath you is going to hold you up through thick and thin. So if you want to find solid footing in this broken world, and folks, this world is broken in every way imaginable. So if you want to find solid footing in this broken world, the only place to find it is in Christ Jesus. And when you put your feet there, when you take your stand on the gospel, you're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine. You're not going to be unstable in all your ways. You're going to find stability in the good news of Jesus Christ.
That is Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're with us to hear it today, everybody. This is Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad to share this time with you. We want to really share it with you as you pose a question or join the conversation at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And this month, we have a wonderful resource for you. As Bob was saying, it's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. And you'll find solid footing in your faith for your faith as you let your roots grow deep in the love of God and the truth of God and the promises of God and in the power of God. Request your copy today when you send your gift to Basic Gospel. You can donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And in Canada, you can give directly to Basic Gospel, basicgospel.net/Canada. And we thank you in advance for your support. The gospel, of course, is taking root in the lives of thousands of people all over the world because of your gift through Basic Gospel. And we thank you for that. Again, if it's the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, or the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, p.m., Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want you to be a part of it. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. And over the weekend, we had this call to come in.
My question is, when we take the communion and we have leftover bread and wine, how do you get rid of it? I'm in a church where they bury it. And if this is the blood and body of Christ that we partake, why should they bury it? Why don't leave it for the birds or something? Could you give me an answer to this question, please? Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you for that that question. That's an interesting one. I don't think we've ever heard that question on Basic Gospel, and at least in the 5 years since we've been doing it as Basic Gospel, and even before under People to People. So never heard that. So this is a brand. this is a red letter day, folks. We need to mark this on our calendars.
I'm doing it.
Got
right now.
A unique question on the Basic Gospel broadcast. Now, as far as the communion elements are concerned, the bread and the wine, or the bread and the grape juice, whatever your church chooses as far as those elements are concerned, those elements represent the body and they represent the blood. They're not the actual body or the actual blood. The Catholic Church teaches transubstantiation, that those become the actual blood and body of Christ, and they may have ways in which they discard of those elements once the Lord's Supper is completed. But as far as the Bible is concerned, these things are just commemorative. They don't take the form of the body of Christ or the blood of Christ. They're just representing what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. So that body, he shared his body. He offered his body as that once for all sacrifice. And now through faith in Christ, we're added to the body, and then corporately, we now are the body. And so God is doing his work through the church, through the body of Christ. And so when we participate, when we pass that bread around, we are really showing forth to one another that we belong to one another, that we belong to Christ, that we have now become the body of Christ. So that bread just helps us see visually what's happened to us spiritually. And then the blood, again, that's representative of the blood that he shed on the cross. And with that blood, he ushered in a new covenant. So again, we commemorate the fact that we live in a new covenant, that we are bound together in this new covenant by the very bonds of the love of Jesus Christ. So those elements just represent what's happened to us spiritually. They're visual aids, and we all need visual aids. I mean, when we can hear something and see something, it's going to get stuck in these minds of ours. And so God, in his wisdom, gave us a wonderful, wonderful picture. And he did it around something as simple as a meal together. Enjoying a meal together, and boy, that is really powerful. Just a powerful, powerful picture of this relationship, this bond that we now enjoy because of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So, one, realize that bread that you're taking, that grape juice or wine that you're drinking, that's not the actual body and blood of Christ. That's just representative. So what you do with it afterwards, I know when we did the Lord's Supper at the church that I grew up in, they'd just take the elements back, and if they had leftover wafers, and that's what we had were little wafers, they would just keep them until the next time. I think they had preservative in them that would give them an eternal life. Yes. I don't know for sure. And then if with the grape juice, we had grape juice growing up, they would just keep that and use it for the next time. at Metro when we had our little fellowship group and we did the Lord's Supper. After it was over, the kids usually came in and drank up the grape juice and the bread after it was all said and done.
Yeah.
So what the church decides to do with it, that's up to the church. But we have to recognize that those elements are not the body and the blood of Jesus. They simply represent their visual aids to show us what's happened to us spiritually in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
It's a beautiful commemorative ceremony, and we celebrated at my church this past Sunday, and what a beautiful thing it is. 844-322-2742. We want to hear you if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Again, we want to hear from you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now. I want to remind you that Basic Gospel streams live video Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Central on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. You can come right inside the studio and see what's going on. We'd like you to do that. We also had this call that came in over the weekend.
I was just wondering, my name's Leah. We're wondering because we just lost our friend and brother. He committed suicide and he was a Christian and he claimed to be a Christian. And we just want to know, do they still go to heaven? Thank you very much and pray for us. Good night.
Well, Leah, thanks for that question. And I certainly feel your pain and just the agony and the confusion within your question and how you've posed it. And the reason that we would think that suicide might be the unpardonable sin is because once it's committed, there's no opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness. And so we say, hey, there's no hope once that's done. And, you know, I think we have to really be logical about this. What if you're in the midst of committing some other sin? Say you're telling a lie to your wife, and at that very moment you have a heart attack and die. What's going to happen to you? You weren't able to repent and ask for forgiveness for that. What if you were in a car wreck and you had just committed a sin right before you got in the car? So we have to look and think logically about this, and we have to realize that when we come to Christ and we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. But not only do we receive forgiveness of sins, we receive Jesus. Jesus comes to live inside of us. And as Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossians, he becomes our very life. So he is our life. And in the book of Hebrews, we see in chapter 7 that Jesus has an indestructible life. So he has become our very life, and he's going to preserve us to the end.
Yes.
So if a person is truly in Christ, and for some reason or another, they decide to commit suicide, we've had people in our ministry that's happened to. One was taking some medication to help with an illness that she was going through. One of the side effects of that particular medication was suicidal thoughts and suicidal tendencies. Well, that's what happened to her. Well, was that something that she brought about herself? Absolutely not. But she was a believer. She had one of the most beautiful testimonies we've ever heard and was just a gentle, joyful soul. Mm-hmm. And that pain, and because of those drugs, she came to the point, said, I can't take this anymore, and took her life. Well, what happened to her? What happened to her on that last breath? Well, she was a believer. Christ lived in her. Christ was her life, indestructible life. She went immediately out of the body into the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because her sins had already been dealt with by Jesus Christ. She had already been declared righteous through faith in Christ, and she had received his indestructible life. Well, that was it. That's all that was needed for her to experience everlasting life. So if somebody's a believer and Christ has come to live inside of them, then there's absolutely nothing that can separate them from the love of God.
They are sealed with the Holy Spirit.
They are sealed for that day of redemption that is guaranteed.
Yes.
Not because of what they've done or haven't done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And like I said at the top of the hour, this is where we need to take our stand. If we will stand on the solid rock of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll be able to answer these type questions. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to experience some peace in the midst of a very agonizing circumstance.
Yes.
And situation.
Absolutely.
So, Leah, well, we hope that helps you, that if your friend was in Christ, then he is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And the blood of Jesus, his shed blood, guarantees it. And the very moment your friend received Christ, he received forgiveness of sins. And Jesus said to him, just like he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Mm-hmm. John echoed that in his first letter, 1 John 2:12. "I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." So your friend's sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If he had been made alive in Christ, he is absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, that's not to say anything good or about suicide.
Sure.
It is the most selfish act that there is. But it does not trump the grace of God and the forgiveness that's available in Christ Jesus.
That is good news. You know, earlier today, I was talking about this wonderful new resource we have called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World, and it's what Bob has been talking about during the course of this particular broadcast. Bob, tell our listeners what Stand is all about.
Well, it is just about taking a stand on the gospel. You know, we have in this world all kinds of things that vie for our attention. Back in the Old Testament, there were gods. And so God wrote about idolatry. And so he says, "I don't want you to have any other gods before me." Well, we don't have the foreign gods like they did back in Old Testament times or in Roman times, that sort of thing. But we do have our own forms of idolatry in this world. We bow to money, we bow to politics, we bow to fame, we bow to power, we bow to all these things that are out there in the world. Well, every single one of those come up short. They miss the mark when it comes to the real needs of the human heart. Only the gospel of Jesus is where we can find solid footing. And so this particular CD set is from a conference we did several years ago. Andrew Farley and I shared in some of the teaching, and we are putting those out there for you. And it is going to help you take a stand in the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and the very power of God through Christ's resurrected presence in you. And as you learn to take a stand, then you will find stability in your life, confidence in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and purpose in your everyday experience as a human being. So we want you to have this resource. It's called Stand, How to Find Solid Footing in a Broken World.
And you can request it, friends. We want you to do that when you make your contribution to support Basic Gospel during the month of September. You can do so at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, you can give directly to basicgospel.net/Canada. And thank you for your love of the Lord of this message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, we had also this call that came in over the weekend.
Hey, I know that Christianity teaches that abortion is wrong, but I was wondering in a certain case about, well, when I was young, my girlfriend, she was pregnant. I was probably about 15 or 16 years old, and I just felt like we weren't ready for kids, and I felt like it wouldn't be fair to the kid as well. So we agreed to get an abortion, and trying to live with it, I just want to know if, in Christianity terms, would I be considered a murderer in God's eyes, or will he forgive me? Or I don't know where I stand in that. I was hoping you guys could help me out and help me find some peace and probably figure out the answer to this question. Thanks very much.
That's a real hard question.
Have a blessed day. Goodbye.
Real hard question right there.
It really is. And we hope that if you're listening, that you can find some hope and some help and some peace in your situation. I mean, you and your girlfriend at a very young age made a decision to take a human life. And that's what abortion is, taking a human life. Now, the question is there forgiveness for that? Can God forgive you? Is that act greater than the grace of God that's been offered to you in the person of Jesus Christ? Was that act, did that put you in a place beyond the reach of God's grace and forgiveness? And the answer to that question is no, that your sin, no matter how bad it is not greater than the grace of God. And God has poured out his grace for you in the person of Christ Jesus. And here's what he says, and I think this is the place that we need to go, that God not only wants to forgive your sins, that wants you to experience that forgiveness personally, but he wants to have a relationship with you. Now, that sin of abortion, of choosing to take that child's life, that act is going to tell you a story about God. It's going to say that you're not worthy of God's love, that you're not worthy of God's grace. It's going to tell you that God is accusing you, that he is ready to judge and punish you at any given moment, and that you should be walking on eggshells just waiting for that punishment to fall. And when it does, that's going to be the end of you. Now, that's what that sin is going to be telling you. But the cross of Jesus tells a different story. It tells the true story of God's heart towards you. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. And this is written directly from God through Paul to you today. And it says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, imploring you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So Jesus Christ shed his blood. He offered himself at the cross 2,000 years ago to stand in your place. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God. So he took that sin, he put it upon himself, and he paid your punishment for you. He tasted death on your behalf so that you could be declared righteous and receive eternal life. And so I encourage you today to go into this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21, and ask the Lord to speak to you directly and to say, this is why I sent Jesus, so that you can have forgiveness of sins and life everlasting in his name, and so you can be reconciled to a heavenly, loving Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. So there is forgiveness for you, my friend, but there's even more than forgiveness. There is reconciliation, there is righteousness, there is a brand new identity waiting for you, and there's a brand new life in the person of Christ Jesus. It's all yours, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
And that is good news. And it's the kind of news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and we're glad that you're here to hear it. Friends, we want to keep you ever mindful that Basic Gospel is listener financed. We can't do what we do without your ongoing prayers and support. So we close today's program asking you to go online to basicgospel.net or to phone 844-322-2742 and make your most generous gift to help us continue to reach out with the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's it for today, everybody. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.